Hello, this is my Lenten diary for March the 26th, 2014. This is Wednesday in the third week of Lent. Episcopalians are call and response kind of folk. We know what our lines are, so to speak. The priest opens a service, "Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit," and we immediately respond, "And blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen." Or, "Bless the Lord who forgives all our sins. His mercy endures forever." Or, "The Lord be with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord." We have the call and response thing down. Sometimes, our call and response doesn't fit. And this morning, when I heard the lesson from the Gospel of Mark, I had one of those moments. You see, anytime Episcopalians gather and we hear the scripture read publicly, either in the daily office or at a celebration of the Eucharist, the reader ends the lesson by saying, "The word of the Lord." And the congregation responds, "Thanks be to God." This morning, I heard the reader say, "The word of the Lord," but I could not bring myself to say, "Thanks be to God." Not because I didn't believe what I had heard was the word of the Lord, but rather what I had heard had called me up short, and I wasn't quite ready to thank God for that. This morning's lesson from the sixth chapter of Mark was the story of the beheading of John the Baptist. It is a sordid tale of political intrigue, ego, subterfuge, and in the end, the death of a prophet in a horrific way. I shouldn't be surprised, really. Prophets have a tendency to get on the wrong side of people in power. And John the Baptist had done that by preaching about Herod's marriage to his dead brother's widow. The widow wanted John the Baptist out of the picture. But Herod couldn't bring himself to do that because he was a little bit afraid of John the Baptist, so he just had him in prison. "I'm not going to do anything except silence him by keeping him behind bars," must have been Herod's thought. At any rate, Herod throws himself a big birthday bash. His daughter dances for him and pleases the crowd so well that he makes her a promise. "You can have anything, up to half of my kingdom." The daughter goes to her mother. "What should I ask for?" "Ask for the head of John the Baptist." And so Herod, because he refuses to look bad in front of his guests, because he refuses to go back on his oath, sends word down to the prison. And John the Baptist is executed, beheaded, and his head brought to the hall and presented to Herod's daughter. It's a gruesome tale. And I kept wondering as I was listening to it, what does this have to do with the gospel? What does this have to do with me? What does this have to do with the story of Jesus? In Mark's gospel, the beheading of John the Baptist is meant to be a foreshadow of the crucifixion of Jesus. Anytime prophets speak truth to power, the power gets nervous. And sooner or later, the power will do what it has to do to silence the prophet. Here in the United States, we don't know much about that. We, the church, operate really outside of active persecution. We don't know what it's like to face death for proclaiming the gospel. Now, I know for a fact that there are plenty of Christians elsewhere in the world for whom that is not true. They could be executed at any moment, and yet they continue to witness, they continue to proclaim the gospel, and they continue to speak truth to power. Recently, the church remembered the 20th century martyr Oscar Romero, who spoke the truth to power in Central America and paid for that truth speaking with his life. I don't have happy news to report today. This gospel, this good news, it's not good news to everyone. It turns our understandings of power upside down. And it makes those in power very, very nervous. Sometimes I wonder what it would take. What would the church in the United States have to say or do to warrant any sort of persecution? I know there are some who think we're persecuted because of this social issue or that social issue. I have some opinions on those things. I'm not going to share them here. But it seems to me that right now in our country, we are a docile group of people. We will complain. We will take our issues to Facebook or to social media. We'll kvetch at a coffee shop. But the power knows that we are content to go inside our buildings and pray our prayers privately and not let our religious convictions get in the way of being good and obedient citizens. John the Baptist had a higher calling, and so did Jesus. And they spoke the truth to power. And power does what it always does when truth threatens it. It kills the messenger. Perhaps that's why Jesus said in another place in the New Testament, "Blessed are you when you are persecuted, when people revile you for my sake." So this morning I couldn't say thanks be to God. I couldn't say thanks be to God because I wasn't happy about John the Baptist being beheaded, even though I've heard the story. But I also couldn't say thanks be to God because it called me up short. Do I have the courage and conviction to speak truth to power, even if it costs me my comfortable little house and my comfortable little office and my comfortable little job? It's not a happy thought. Today I give thanks for the witness of John the Baptist and Oscar Romero and the martyrs of Uganda and the martyrs of Japan and all those who in every generation have thought that the witness to the gospel was more important than anything, even their own lives. And I pray that should I ever face that moment, that I would have the courage to stand firm and proclaim the truth to power. Let us pray. Give ear to our prayers, O Lord, and direct the way of your servants in safety under your protection, that amid all the changes of our earthly pilgrimage, we may be guarded by your mighty aid, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.